But first off, before I start, you know, chatting away, I just went to kind of give an applause to you guys because there's a lot that went on over the course of a month, and a lot of it would not have been possible without the Christians back home who sent the team there. So I think I didn't start raising money to go to Thailand until 2 months before it was time to ship off. And because actually a lot of the team was that way. They didn't find out about it till late. And in 2 months, I raised over $4,000, and a lot of that had to do to this church, and that was a lot due to you guys. So I think you guys should give a round of applause to yourself, because, yeah. Thank you. I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, because I hope that it really changed a lot of people there in Thailand, but I think mostly it changed me. So thank you, guys. So, all right. All right, now all the pictures in the slides are some that me and the team took, so they're not off the internet, so this is what it really looks like. This is actually from the back of a car going 80 miles an hour. Yeah. So that's what Thailand countryside looks like up near Burma. All right, this is our team. This is a real impact team, with the exception of the Thai guy with his arm like this messing with one of our leaders. That's his name's Pipong, which we called Ping Pong because we couldn't say his name right, and his little kid. But that's our whole team. That was all of us that went there, and that was right before we left. We were getting prepared. We've got our flight clothes on, ready for a 40-hour flight. So, okay, I just want to start off with the trip, just so you know, get a full experience. We started out in Miami doing training there in Miami, and is over a day's worth of training. And while there, we had to learn learn Thai customs all in one day. We had to learn and memorize a 10-minute skit that was choreographed to music. They didn't tell us that until we arrived. We had costumes. We had to learn how to wear costumes and do the skit. And we had to learn basics of teaching English and just evangelism work and just other things that we'd come across over there, safety things. And then we talked about our trip. So all the traveling we would do. We started in Miami, went to Atlanta, then went to New York, and then took a 17-hour flight from New York to Tokyo. And we crossed every time zone on that flight, so the sun was up the entire time. And it was awesome. I got to meet new people on the flight, and I had this little lady from Malaysia on one side and this little lady from the Philippines on the other. And both of them could speak a little English, but they both talked the entire 17 hours. And and the lady from the Philippines, she kept opening the window and checking every 30 minutes. She's like, the sun's still out. And I was like, well, we're crossing every time zone. It's going to be up the whole time. But every 30 minutes, like clockwork, it would be 3 in the morning technically. There goes the window checking to make sure the light was on. So I didn't sleep on that flight. And then we got to Tokyo and stayed a few hours in Tokyo. That was interesting. The bathrooms are the most interesting part. That was our first experience with Asian bathrooms. I wanted to tell you guys a little about that. I might get to it a little bit later. But just so you know, none of them are the same when you get to Asia. I mean, even in an airport bathroom, like there'd be 20 stalls and about 10 of them a piece of just different, every single one is a different toilet. Like, it's not even the same. There's a big hole in the floor in one of them, or there's one that has 5 different buttons for different music and different music, and there's volume buttons, and there's different types of music you can pick, and we're just like, how long are we going to be in here? Like, that, I mean, why do we need music? But, yeah, they were interesting. I'll just talk about the bathrooms a little bit. Just while we're on this, they don't believe in toilet paper in Asia. And each of us, there are 10 of us, and we all brought 3 or so rolls of toilet paper. It's about 30 rolls of toilet paper. We ended up using all of it because it was just scary the whole time. It was just scary. We go in, and sometimes there aren't doors on the bathroom stall. So there's a lot of standing in front of people, you know, just praying. There's a lot of prayer on this trip. And so they use a hose instead of toilet paper. It's a communal hose. It's hooked on the wall, and sometimes the water pressure isn't that good. And actually, sometimes there was a luxury of toilet paper, and they were it was really thin, and it felt like cardboard. And we're like, well, why do you have toilet paper? And like, oh no, don't use that. That is to clean off the hose. And we're like, okay. So and there's not plumbing. There's not really adequate plumbing. So instead of flushing, you have there's a faucet on the side of the wall, and you turn it on, and there's a big bucket, and you fill the bucket with water, and you take the cup that's in the bucket, and you dump it in the toilet. But because people do that, there's water all over the floor. And the toilets are in the ground, and sometimes if there was a door, there's no locks on doors. People aren't worried about walking in, I guess. I don't know. They're just not worried about it. So you're holding the door with one hand, and you're bracing, holding on for your life with the other, and you're about to slip. And and you can't throw toilet paper away. It was an experience. And they don't use soap to wash your hands, so we use Germex a lot. But so just so you guys go to Asia, that's Asia for you from the bathroom. Just bring toilet paper and Germex, and you'll survive. But anyway, traveling. The two pictures of the airport, that's Bangkok Airport. While we were traveling, then we went to Bangkok, and we stayed in Bangkok overnight. We slept in the airport. So that's one of the pictures of us getting ready for bed in our five-star hotel. And we're like, oh, you know, this is going to be nice. It was more quiet section of our hotel is what we kept calling it. So I'm going to say the hotel. And it was nicer and quieter than the flight. Then we all start getting ready for bed, and we hear this really loud, like, ding-dong, and then sawadika, and all this Thai going on. There's a door, so we're sleeping right next to the door all night long. That was nice. Next picture over there is us after sleeping for hours in the airport. We're getting ready. I think that was, like, 4 in the morning, about to fly to Chiang Mai. Next picture is us. We're arriving at Chiang Mai in our little tut-tut. That's one of the main things we drove around in the entire time. It's this little bitty truck with one of those, like, camper tops on it and some makeshift seats in the back and no door, no seat belts. There's no seat belts in Thailand, so it's interesting. And when it rains, there's no window, so you just kind of sit there and get wet. So, your next picture. There's a sleeping, I didn't know that picture was taken, we found that one, so I put that on there. That's what sleeping in airports like. The truck there with some of us in the truck, that was a lot of riding around in Thailand in the back of a truck. And the weather in Thailand is really unpredictable. When we went, it was rainy season. They said it wasn't bad because it's not monsoon season, which is great, I guess, but it rained on and off all day long, you know, just downpour, and then it'd stop and be sunny again, but that was kind of not so fun because the humidity is anywhere from like 80 to 90% every single day. So you pretty much are swimming when you're walking. And we're in the mountains, like you saw in the first picture up there. It's mountaintops everywhere you go and a lot of hiking. And Pastor said we lost a little weight. We did. All of us did. Some people were excited about it. Some of us not so much. But yeah, so we were wet most of the time, and that was mostly our attire in raincoats right there. So we looked nice and happy. And actually, after that picture of the truck was taken, we had just been going. We're traveling to another city, and it just got done raining. So they're nice models after the rain and the truck driving. and that's another thing, Thai driving. They don't, of course, they drive on the opposite side of the road everywhere but America. And but in Thailand, lines on the road are more of a suggestion. Like you don't really, I mean, people stay relatively on the left or right side, but that's about it when it comes to rules. I think most of the time we're driving about 80 miles an hour, and people just kind of, you drive on the shoulder on the road like that. I mean, where he's on the shoulder, like, everybody does that, you know, and people drive, I mean, at weird intervals with each other, and they pass, each other all the time with oncoming traffic. And I mean, there were so many times, I mean, we kept saying and joking, but mostly we were serious, like this trip really amped up all of our prayer lives, because like there were times when we legitimately thought, like, you cannot pass this car, like we're going to die if we pass them, like, and they would just, they went ahead and did it, and we were praying the whole time, and most of us had our eye closed, so we don't know how we really made it, but we survived somehow. Okay, so kind of the way I did this slide, I couldn't get all the pictures, just to say, of the entire trip. There were a lot of times we couldn't really pull out a camera. We were really busy. We couldn't do a lot of things. Sometimes it wasn't safe for us to really have a camera out, and sometimes we'd sneak a few pictures, but I don't have pictures of everything that went on, but I try to get a picture where I can kind of tell a general idea, and I try to make this slide in chronological order of our trip. The first place we went to was Home of Blessing, and this is a picture of it from the gate. Home of Blessing is one of the orphanages we were at, and it was probably the main one we stayed at. It was started by this amazing Christian couple, Pastor Sion and his wife, Sirpon. And their story is just insane, how they started this orphanage. And what it is for girls who were rescued from prostitution, and young girls. And how this couple got started, they were someone like one of the only Christians pretty much in the north of Thailand, actually, way back in like the 70s or so, and 80s, they started a church, and they really didn't have much members. They had a lot of opposition from the people there in Thailand. Like, their culture is very different. It's 90, almost 100% Buddhism there, and Buddhism, the culture there is completely rejective of any other religion or any other culture or anything. It's just very, very selective, and we've heard stories of Christian people being in villages trying to start community centers or something, and like the people there tried to stone them because they didn't want them there. But Sirpon and Pastor Sion, like, they went ahead and did stuff anyway. You know, they're like, God's calling us to do this. So they started a church there in Chiang Khom. That's where we went. It's about 4 hours out of Chiang Mai, where we first landed, and we went to Chiang Khom, where the Home of Blessing was at. And they were telling us their story and how one day they just moved to the village, and Pastor Sion said he was going and shopping for groceries, and he noticed there's this one alley where all these men kept going down, and he was just like, well, I'll just go check it out, see what's going on down there. And he said he just kind of walked down the alleyway, and there are these young girls out there, and there's these older guys going in, and he was just like, okay, well, that's strange. And, you know, he's like, that's odd, but he had to get his shopping done, so he moved on. But for some reason, he kept thinking about that, coming back to him, and he kept going back to that alley, seeing what was going on, and he kept seeing different girls with different guys, and he's like, this is odd. So one day, he decides to go in, and when he goes in, it's like this hallway with these boxes with these plexiglass, and in each of the boxes, there's like this red light above it, and there's a girl sitting on a stool in each of the boxes with a number around her neck. And he said the oldest girl in there probably wasn't even 20 years old. And like, guys would go through and pick a number. They'd draw a number and just go in a back room or go somewhere. So that definitely got his attention, I'd say. He said, I mean, he had to leave immediately. He couldn't, because if you make a big scene or try to stop it or something, like, there's pimps and stuff with some machine guns and machetes, and they'll kill you, like, if you try to do anything. And so he had to leave, and he kept praying about, like, hoping an opportunity to help these girls. And one day, a member of their church, and when I say churches in Thailand, like, max member is probably like 30 people. There's really not many people in churches there, because it's very rare for people to actually make that transition to Christianity, because it's a big step for them in Thailand. It's, for them, it's like rejection of their culture. A lot of them, their family won't accept them anymore. Their communities reject them. They're not allowed to bury their family anywhere. They won't, sometimes villages will beat people up and kick them out of the village because they're Christians. So this doctor, it was a surprise that people came to him, because he's a doctor and he's a Christian. This doctor came to him that had just recently become a Christian, came to Pastor Sion, and he told him, there's a girl here in the hospital. She was taken here. She was dropped off by some people. I don't know who they were, but she's really badly damaged, and you know, she can't even walk. And she's just, he said, I don't even know if she's going to make it. And he said, the other day, I was, you know, she just got out of surgery, and these people came up to me and said, she belongs to us. She has to come with us. He said, you're not her guardians. Like, I don't have to give her to you. And they were her people who owned her, pretty much. This girl, she was like 15 years old. And the doctor came to Pastor Sion and was like, can you guys be her guardians? You guys take her in. And they said yes. They didn't have any money at all. They didn't have anything. But they said yes anyway, because they felt like that's what God was calling them to do. And they took this girl in and raised her. And she technically was the first girl who started the Home of Blessing. This girl now, I think she's in her 30s now, and she's a youth pastor in Bangkok, and she's actually going to med school, so they changed her life completely. That was awesome story to hear. Actually, they said that she'd been living with them for about a year, and those people who owned the brothel saw her on the side of the road, and they came to them, and they had guns and stuff, and they're threatening them, and they said, she has to come with us, you know, she belongs to us. And they said no, and they were like, well, you have to pay us 600 baht for her if you want to keep her. And so they had to pay her, and they gave them all their money to keep her. But after that, it was like a floodgate open. More and more girls kept coming to them. People heard about them somehow, and people come from villages and say, this girl lives in a really unsafe situation. Like one girl that was at the Home of Blessing that was there, for example, she was there because her father was abusive and her sister already had a kid by him. And people would take girls like that to the Home of Blessing and be like, they need to be put in a safe environment. So they kept taking them in, and finally got overflow, and they couldn't take care of all these girls. And this guy came to them from the village and said, I have some land to sell. Do you want to sell it? And somehow they got the money to buy this land, which ended up being the Home of Blessing here. And that's where they started building a home for all these girls. And right now, they have over 90 girls, just Pastor Sion and them. And the way they take care of them is planting rice crops, and the girls make little trinkets and stuff, and they sell it in markets and stuff, but they pretty much are the parents to over 90 girls. These are some of the girls. These are the girls. And I don't know if you guys are shocked by looking at them, but that was our response when we pulled up. We get there, and we're expecting like 15-year-old girls or something, you know, which is awful in any situation, but when we got there, we were not expecting girls like this. The youngest girl there at the moment is 6 years old. I think there's over 20 girls who are under the age of 10 there. And it was really hard to swallow when we showed up. We were just like, we just stood there in shock. Like we couldn't believe it. Like it was insanity, honestly. That was it. Like, we had no response to it. We're just like, these girls, and some of them have been over there for a year. And so some girls have been rescued at 5 years old from brothels. And it's just awful. And, like, yeah. I think I've never relied on God more, because I think this was just kind of like a smack in the face for me, because I think I wasn't really aware of what was going on out there. I mean, I'd done a lot of research and heard a lot of stories, but I didn't really expect to see kids this young. I honestly didn't. I really didn't think we'd be working with this young. I wish we didn't have to. And so after the first night we were there, I went back to our room, and I think I read the Bible till like 4 o'clock in the morning, because I just didn't know how I was going to deal with this. And God was just like, I just remember saying, just show them love, show them my love. And the thing was, is there's a big language barrier. They couldn't really speak English. Some of them were learning English in schools a little bit, but that was the only thing we could show them, and it turned out being the biggest thing that we could do, because it had such an impact on them. And this is the girls when we showed up. they said they had been praying for us, and they all had roses for us, and they sang us a song, and they're all split up in groups like that because there's 10 of us, and we each had a group of girls for 10 people, and we spent over a week with them. We did sermons, and we played games, and we helped them with their chores. This is us worshiping. I love this picture because Thai people worship like you would never believe. Like, it's amazing to watch them worship because in Thailand, they don't know any day now the king over there. They don't know if he's going to die or not. And if he does, they're pretty sure Christianity is going to be made illegal in Thailand. And so they're constantly fighting for their faith over there. And like, the people there, they live it with their entire heart and their entire lives. And when they worship, people aren't worried about how they look or if they can't speak the same language or whatever. They just go for it. And this picture's like, it speaks so much about, I don't know, about God to me, because these girls have been through more than I can imagine, and look how they worship. Like, completely without abandon. I don't know if I could be like that if, I mean, I complain if I get a bad grade on a test or something, but and I don't know if I'd sit there and worship like that. You know, I'd probably be sitting there sulking the whole time. But, you know, these girls, they're awesome. And they're just great to be around. And that was a huge blessing to me with those girls. Yeah, this picture. Over there in the top, that's Pastor Sion. He's translating. That's one of the girls on our team. We're telling about our stories, you know, why we were coming and everything, just giving kind of like a testimony and stuff, and he's translating for us. There's one of the kitchens, that's the kitchen in the girls' dorm, helping them cook. We do their chores. What we did with explain that picture of Pastor Sion. We'd get up at 4 every morning. These girls are hardcore. They get up at 4 every morning, and they do Bible study and worship until 6. So 2 hours. And after that, they do chores for an hour, and then they eat breakfast, and then they walk to school, and they go to school all day, and they come back, and they work in the rice fields, and then they do Bible study and worship again at night, and then they do homework at 10, and they get to bed around 11, and they get up at 4 again. And that was our schedule for over a week with them. So it was really hard not to complain because there's 7-year-old little girls just going at it, but we're like, oh, I'm dying. Like, at 4 o'clock in the morning, really? I mean, this is killing me. Like, so Elena's, I put that picture of her because she looks nice and happy and she looks awake. And most of us were just like, oh, we got to talk about something. We got to say something. I don't know. You know, next picture. These are some of the girls. There are some of the girls in my group. They love the camera. I think some are going to be future models because they were just like posing left and right and they wanted to see how it turned out. And then they caught on quickly how to say no in English. And they're like, no, retake it. Got to do it again. So that with the two girls, that's Pin and Gan. They're really cute, and we took that picture like 3 times because it was not right. And so I don't know if that was my fault or them. I don't know, but I mean, we take it. Other little girl up there. These are just a few girls in my group. The other girl's name's Bao. She's really shy, and she likes to give hugs a lot. The one with me down there, that's one of my favorites. Her name's Peace of Mai. She's just the cutest little thing. She's 7 years old, and awesome. She was just super sweet and super quiet, and I just wanted to take her home with me. This is the little girls getting ready for school. We get to walk them to their school, and they'd pray every morning, and They were so precious. They would get in a little line. The little girl who's facing in the picture, she's the pace setter. And they get in the line and they walk and they do this little shuffle. And here's this picture, this one, and their feet is just barely moving. It took us like 10 minutes to walk, half a mile or something. It took us forever. They're so cute, though, with their little pails and their backpacks are bigger than they are. And we all, you know, hiked to school. They were cute. All right, this is Rice Field Day. Well, when we first went in Miami, Scott and Kara Boss, who started Real Impact, they were telling us we were going to probably have to work in rice fields. And they're like, don't worry about it. Probably going to be about a day. So we get to Thailand, and Pastor Sion was like, it's okay. We're going to get a good week of rice planting in. And we're like, oh, a week? Yeah. Like, we're like, all right. Well, we didn't really know what we were getting into, because when we'd been showing up, when we were driving to Chiang Khom, we saw all these rice fields and these people in their cool little hats, and we were just like, oh, that's so awesome. That's going to be us, you guys. They're like, it looks so picturesque, and we're just like, this is so pretty. And so then we get in the rice fields. It was like we were not saying the same things afterwards. I think rice work like defines backbreaking work, because as you can see, you bend down. And we would be in the rice fields for 7 hours for over a week planting rice in, I think, 80 rice fields. It was rough. And so there's that picture of us. We look really happy and positive because we were super happy. It was the first day and we were pumped. And we were still pumped because we kept thinking, you know, this is how it feeds the girls, how it makes money. But still, we strengthen our prayer life in the rice fields. you know, next picture. There's us planting rice. what you do is, we are actually in the second stage of planting rice. What you first do is you cast out seeds and you plant them. They come in those little stalks. They grow into those little stalks. And then you have to pull it out and bundle it up and then replant it so it doesn't die, so it's not too crowded. And it has to be in these perfect little rows. You have this big football field size field, and it's about calf deep in water and mud. And you really get an amazing thigh workout, because moving your legs in there is impossible. By the time the end of the week, we got pretty good. We could move pretty fast. Still couldn't keep up with the Thai people. They looked like they were walking normal, and we're struggling. They're laughing at us because we're these Americans with our boots, and they didn't even have shoes on, which turned out to be the smart thing, because you can't hardly move in the boots because it suction cups them. But one of our leaders, Jody, she is a germaphobe. She surpasses me by anything. And she was like, we need to be wearing gloves, which we weren't wearing gloves. So she's panicking the whole time about not wearing gloves. So we have to wear shoes. There are too many germs. So we were wearing shoes the whole time. And that picture right there, that's some of the creatures that are in the rice fields. That's a slug, a rice slug. You can't really tell in the bottom. That's actually most of the slug covered in mud. They are massive. And they will eat the rice, and you have to grab them and throw them out and crush them. But sometimes they suction cup to your leg. And that one girl, she panicked. She couldn't move, so she's stuck there, and she's screaming, and she's like, it's on my leg, it's on my leg. And she's just screaming, and it's just suction cup, and we're all like trying to pull it off. And the people from Thailand are just cracking up and laughing at us because we look ridiculous. We're all like screaming, and we're all like crowded around this one girl, like clawing at her leg, trying to get this slug off of her. And they were just like, oh, just toss it over the side, it'll be fine. And she was like, I'm going to get tested for parasites when I go home. But next picture, that's Jasmine. We didn't think there were crabs in rice fields, but they are, and you find out pretty quickly because they latch on pretty good. And that thing, I don't know if you can tell, but it's on her finger. It's pinched on her finger. There are a whole bunch of other things in there. Some things we didn't know what they were. There were snakes in there. And when I first was telling you guys about Thailand, and I was like, oh, there's snakes in rice fields. I didn't really actually think there were going to be snakes in rice fields. Like, when we were there, I just knew there were snakes in rice fields. But we were planting one day, and look down, and there's this big, huge snake just swimming on by, just chilling there. And one of the guys from the Home of Blessing grabs it by the head, and he throws it like a football. And then he's like, go after it. And we're like, what are you talking about? Like, are you insane? And he was like, go after it. So we had to go get these shovels and sticks and chase the snake down to kill it. And so that was fun. But those are some of the creatures in the rice fields. Next stage of our trip. Like I said, Home of Blessing is in Chiang Khom, but we didn't just stay in Chiang Mai or Chiang Khom. We traveled to several other places. We traveled to Lana, Chiang Rai, Chiang Khom, Nan, and Chiang Mai. And something else, I don't know how to pronounce it, but I think it's six different places. And right now, this is in Chiang Rai. If you look at a time map, this is on the Burmese border, just about. We're pretty much in Burma, and you know you're almost in Burma when you start seeing all these guys walking around with big machetes and machine guns, and those are the soldiers who are guarding the border. It's kind of dangerous. And actually, we got a good taste of Burma because there was a girl at the Home of Blessing. She was volunteering there, and she was there for 4 months, and she was 16 all by herself. The only English speaker there for months. And she had to have a visa, but they wouldn't really let her have one because she was a missionary. And she had to get it through Burma. So she would just go across the Burmese border and get it stamped and come back. So that was pretty crazy. But here we're in Chiang Rai. That's one of our translators. His name is Ta, T-A-A, Ta. And he started several churches in Thailand, and he's an amazing guy. He works to the bone. He'll be up late at night, and he'll get a call from someone, say, somebody wants to know about God, and he'll travel 5 hours on a bus so he can be there next day and talk to them. And he's amazing. There he's demonstrating to us lum yais. They're this really weird fruit, and he's showing us how to take the shell off. He called them my friends. We never knew why, but they were his friends, and he was really obsessed with them. And there's a picture, one of the only Christian cemeteries we got to see. We're here in Chiang Rai. We were at a village church, and they had a cemetery there. And it was a big deal that they had a cemetery there because the government had to get involved for them to even have one there. Because the village people were making such a big deal about it. They had the government involved, and they had to have soldiers guard them while they dug it the first time they used it, because it was like an insult to the Thai people, and they don't like you burying your family anywhere near them if you're a Christian. This is us doing aid relief. We were there, and there's a lot of flooding going on in Thailand, especially up in northern Thailand. I don't know if you guys saw any on the news. You may not have, but it was pretty bad. I have a video. I couldn't get it on here, but a video of us. We stopped at this village, and it was this little church. These people tried to build this church, and there's this creek. We thought it was a river, but it was actually had been a creek at one point. And they'd been trying to build a church, and the floodwater took the church completely. And it was just stuff like that constantly up north in Thailand. And this is flood relief. Those are little bitty fermented fish, and they're not fun to pack, but Christine looks really happy with her fish. So we did those. I actually got to skip out on fish packing one day. I was going to tell you guys this story. I got sick while we were there, just a little bit. We don't know what it was. I guess it was just all the traveling and the exposure to weather. But I had like 101.6 fever or something like that, and I lost my voice. And at the time, we were up in Chiang Rai around Nan, and we were staying at this little compound that was owned by this Vietnamese pastor. And he was one of the only Christians in there, and they were allowing us to stay there. And it's like this little concrete room with these mattresses on the floor. And some people on my team had given me some medicine, so I'm out. And this Vietnamese pastor, let me explain how he is first. He's this little elderly guy. He's really short. And from the back of his head to soles of his feet, he looks completely flat. Like, I don't know, he's bored straight, but he's got this little belly. So he stands there like this, and he would walk like this and just stare at you. Didn't speak any English. And he would just like walk around and just stare at you like that. He was a really nice guy, but we had no idea what kind of person he was, really, because we couldn't talk to him. But that's all we knew about him. We just knew he was interesting. And I'm laying there in the bed, and Jody, our group leader, comes in, and she was just like, "Courtney, they're coming to pray for you." And I'm like, "Well, who's coming to pray for me?" And in comes a little Vietnamese pastor doing his little shuffle walk. And I didn't know what to do. I'm just laying there. I mean, we didn't know what to say, like, what's going on, because we couldn't speak Vietnamese, and he couldn't speak English. So we're just kind of laying there, and he and this lady who was an intern was following him, and they just stood at the edge of my bed for about a minute. It was completely quiet. And so Jody and I were just like, what do we do? What do we say? He all of a sudden just grabs onto my leg violently, I guess. It felt like it because I'm freaking out. And he starts chanting this really loud prayer in Vietnamese. And I mean, I think he scared like the sickness out of me because I got better the next day. I mean, he scared me so badly. I was going to cry. I was so, he was praying so loud. And I was like, and then he stands up and he shuffles out the door. I never said a thing. So I really did get better. I did. That, the next day I got up and went and packed fish again. But that was cool. Here's the next slide. This is one of the churches we were at in Chiang Rai. And this church was awesome. These people were totally inviting. They cooked us a huge meal when we got there because they knew we'd been driving a long time, driving in the rain, and they cooked us their best food. They even made like roasted duck for us and stuff. It was awesome. And they were great. We had a prayer service. It was like 5 hours long, but they were amazing people. And if anyone wants to talk to me afterwards, I've got a whole list of prayer requests and funding if you guys want to help out with them. It's a story that goes with this. That's Banjo up there, that lady. This is another church we're in Nan. And this little lady, she's very special. we call her Banjo because that's what we thought she said. And we repeated it over and over again. We kept saying, "Are you saying Banjo?" And she said, "Yes." And so we called her Banjo. And she was really affectionate. She kept grabbing onto us and going, "I love you." And she grabbed two girls on our team's hands like that and held it to her. And they're stuck like that for 2 hours while we're praying. And they were going, "Help me." And we're like, "We're not going over there because she'll grab us too." So they were a really sweet church. They were awesome. They had totally helped stop one of the prostitution rings that were there. And these people are insane, but Banjo, she'll love you to death because it was late at night and we were trying to leave and she jumps in the car with us and she was like, "Take me with you." And we're like, "Oh man, we got to go." And her husband was like, "Take her, take her." And we're like, "No, you take her, you take her." And Annie and Emma were really scared of her because they didn't know her that well and she was not afraid of personal space. this is back in Chiang Mai. This is us teaching at one of the schools there. We taught English for several days. I got with a third grade class. Third grade class is a very special class. They were very renowned, and I didn't know that when we got there. And I didn't think I was very good at teaching. And they're like, "Oh, you're a good teacher. You're with the third graders." And I'm like, "Oh, what does that mean?" And that picture of me there, the chalkboard, that is actually the very well-behaved photo. They're a rowdy class, but they're really sweet. That's us in our little third grade class. We taught them English for several days, and they're super sweet. We weren't allowed to hug them or anything because it's unprofessional, but they just wanted to hug us all the time, and they were awesome. I wanted to keep them, too. this is a center we volunteered at. There is a Christian couple, American couple, who had actually moved to Thailand, been there for 17 years, and they started this little center in a village to help teach the kids English and to just get them involved and kind of get God in there. But that's not what they started out as. And they had a lot of opposition when they started out. And they had petitions formed against them. People threatened to hurt them. And they actually had some people come up to him and said, if you have an official opening day, you're going to burn the place down. And so they never officially opened. They never put their sign up. But they've been going for 2 years now. They never officially opened. But these are some of the kids. And there's a picture of a water fight. That's how we commemorated our last day working with kids. It was really hot outside, and we had a huge water fight, and that was fun. We played a lot of games with them, taught them English, had conversational English with them, and taught them a lot of games. And we would only let them use English. So that was really cool. They're actually really smart. They picked up on it really fast. And English is completely different than Thai, so it was hard for them. But they were very good at it. This is a picture in Chiang Mai. This is us heading to the red light district. We did some work there while we were in Thailand. Can you go next photo? This is a picture one of us snuck because we really weren't supposed to have a camera. It was kind of dangerous for us to have a camera, but we took one anyway. A little about the red light district. We didn't know this when we were first there, but a sign of brothel houses, they're not officially supposed to have them, but a sign that they're there is a pool tables. And we didn't know that the first time we went there, but then the second time we knew that, and we looked, and there are pool tables everywhere. And there are girls there, like 15 years old, with 60-year-old guys, and it was pretty rough. All we could do is prayer walk and talk to people if they want to talk to us, but we're advised strongly not to really confront, or go, not confront, but go up and try to really start conversation with anybody because we might get shot, which I really don't think we were going to. You know, I think God was protecting us, but we had a really great time there, and it was really hard at first. I really wanted to judge all the men that were there. One of our leaders brought up a good point. You know, those men need saving too, so we ended up doing a lot of praying for them while we were there. It was great. Some people actually asked us why we're there, and we got to talk to them about it. And they're like, oh, that's interesting, you know, but hopefully we planted a seed with that. We got to talk with Buddhist monks while we were there, have, like, theological discussions with them. And this is one of our monks that we talked with. He was really awesome. He actually spoke English fairly well. And he knew, like, the band Owl City and Minnesota. He kept saying, ah, oh, don't you know? And we got to teach him how to say y'all. He said y'all. So there's some Thai over in Asia saying y'all now. It was really great. And one of the girls, her brother's birthday was that week, and we got to sing Happy Birthday with monks in front of a 700-year-old temple in Thailand. So that was one of the great highlights while we were there. This is river rafting. This is how you get down the river there. And several bamboo strapped together, and you just kind of push it with the pole. That was great because it goes really fast, so it didn't take much time. Well, the people who drove it, they would just kind of push us up against the riverbank. One of them jump out and throw them a rope and then just pull it. And they were like muscles of steel. I don't know how they did it. There's like six of us on there. But this is us riding elephants and some ox carts. The ox carts was probably more interesting than elephants because all of our drivers were like smoking marijuana. And we were just like, yeah. We're like, don't breathe, you guys. Don't breathe. But the elephants were a nice adventure. A few times we thought we were going to fall off because they climb on inclines like this, and the drivers sit on their head, and they just tell them to keep going, and you're just like, well, are we going to make this? But, and it's been raining, and it's muddy, but they just keep going. So that was an experience. There's Emma over there. The elephants like to give you kisses. They suction cup your face, and then it feels like your face getting pulled off. And I don't have a picture because I couldn't find it, but this one guy really wanted his elephant to kiss me on the face, and I'm terrified of it because it's like huge. It's like 1,000 pounds, and it had just like stuck its trunk in its mouth, and it was like covered in snot, and like it was dirty, and it was like coming at me making this suction cup noise, and I'm terrified, so I'm like running around in a circle, and they have this picture of me, and I couldn't find it, but this elephant chasing me with its trunk, and I'm running around in a circle being chased by this elephant, and nobody on my team thought they would help me. I was really terrified. It's like chasing, it's running after me, and I was running for my life. I thought I was, but I wasn't a big fan of the elephants, but as I thought I would be. But I just want to show you some of the things we ate. This is some of the really gross. We ate some good food there. I just wanted to show the really gross stuff because it's kind of fun. Over there with my foot, that's a slug. I just wanted to show you some of the bugs there. They're like 10 times bigger than they are in America. That's a normal household snail there. And that's my foot. And it's not fully extended. It's like the size of my foot. That soup there, that's congealed pig blood soup with boiled eggs. And we had to eat it. Don't try it. It doesn't look cool like on the Travel Channel. Just don't eat it. And down below, those are roasted spice bugs. Silkworm, grasshopper, roly-poly something, boll weevil, I don't know. We actually got to avoid eating those. One girl actually ate one, but they were like, oh, you don't have to eat them. We're like, oh, that's okay. We won't. That's all right. You know, if we don't need to, that's fine. We won't eat all your food. But can you go? Some of it really was, actually. Some of it was really good, but we still didn't know what it was. Most of the time, we just called it mystery meat. We didn't really know. Yeah, we didn't really ask. We were just like, okay, we'll eat it. You know, I'm a little bit allergic to coconut, but everything there is coconut. So I would just eat it anyway. And I like, you know, scratchy throat or something. But it's actually really tasty. Thai food is really spicy. American Thai food is nothing like real Thai food. They told us that they were trying to be nice, and they're like, you know, Americans don't really like spicy food. We won't make you eat the spicy food. But the stuff they had crushed red peppers on it and like chili peppers. And we're like, oh, this is, most of us were crying. We're like sobbing. We're eating there, and they're just like dumping on their own chili sauce and stuff. And they're like, oh, we cooked the not spicy food for you. And we're like, so the spices help sometimes because we didn't really know what it tastes like, but I didn't take that. That's it? Can you go back one? I don't know. Really, that was mostly it when it came to pictures. I really didn't get to tell all stories. Oh, if you guys are okay, I can tell one more story. This one's the coolest God story for me that I experienced. We volunteered at Chiang Mai University to pass out flyers for the center. And what the center did, they're run by Christians, but what they would do is teach language classes or like culinary classes to the university students. And that was kind of to get their foot in the door. And a lot of people got saved that way. And it was awesome. Like, really great program. I would go there, you know. It was a really great, it's kind of like a community college. And we were passing out flyers at the university telling some students they were offering a special on Chinese and German language courses. So while we're there, our whole team split up in groups. And we went two at a time. And I was with this one guy, Tyler. That's what the Thai people called him. They couldn't say Tyler. And I was with Tyler, and he and I were walking around, and we passed out lots of flyers, but we both had this feeling like we really wanted to make some connections. Although we were only there for a little bit, we really wanted to like try to connect with some people. So we decided no more passing out flyers until we come across somewhere we feel like we need to go in. So we did that. We just kind of walked around campus a little bit, and we decided to go inside this library, and he and I kind of split up, passed around some flyers. But at one point, we met up right in front of this table, and there are these two girls sitting there, and they're talking, and they had just finished the conversation when we walked up. And so we're like, hi, you know, we're from America, and we're volunteering at the center down the road here in Chiang Mai, and you know, they're offering some language courses if you guys want to check it out. And so we handed them the flyers, and they started reading it, and both of them started giggling and squealing like really loud in the library. And we're like, what are they doing? And they kept grabbing their arms and being like, and talking to each other really fast. And they kept acting, you know, like something was wrong. And we were like, oh, what's going on, you guys? You know, just, you know, like, have you heard about it? And they were like, what is this? What is this? Can you tell us what this is about? And they could speak a little English. And we said, there's a center down the road, and they're giving some special promos on Chinese and German courses. And they were like, what do we do? Like, how do we go? They said, right as we walked up, they just finished their conversation and they had just been talking about how they wanted to take Chinese language course. And we're like, oh, that's crazy. You know, they're like, we got goosebumps, you know? And they're like, but we were just saying we can only spend 500 baht. And we're like, well, that's pretty coincidental because the courses were 500 baht. And it was insane. They were just like, you know, God did that, you know? And they were just like, they were like, how do we get signed up for this? And we told them about it, and they asked for more flyers. And they took some flyers, and they were going to pass it around. And they, like, gave us a hug and everything. They were freaking out. It was like, they were so excited. It was so insane. We had just walked up, and they literally, no one more than a millisecond, just finished that conversation. And we walked up and handed them that flyer. And after that, the day was amazing. Like, I literally think God planned everything after that. We walked out of the library and we're going down the steps and these two girls came up to us and they were all shy and they were like, do you speak English? And we said, yes. And they said, well, we are in a language class and we need to speak with Native Americans for an assignment. Can we interview you? Why are you here? So we got to go with an interview and we got to tell them why we were there and what we were doing. And they got really excited about it, and they asked for more flyers. So we handed them flyers to pass out. And after that, we came across these girls at this pavilion, this group of students, and they were actually English students. Or they were Thai, but they were studying English. And we sat and talked with them for a little bit, and we helped them with their homework. And they asked why we were there, and we got to tell them. And they asked for more flyers, too. So that was a really awesome story. But I know I'm taking up a lot of your time, but if any of you guys want to ask me questions after this, I'll be here for a little bit. I got lots of crazy stories still, but I know it's late. But anyway, that was Thailand in a short hour or so. But I guess just in closing again, I just want to thank you guys for helping me go, just because my life has changed. I know a lot of people there were changed, and we really allowed avenues for God to be in there, and it was amazing. It was life-changing. So thank you.
You know, we had three this year go to some kind of mission, and I hope that increases every year. I hope we just catch a heart for what God is doing in the world. Sometimes we stay in our little world and we think, well, this is the world. This is my world. But there's so much going on and there's so many needs out there. And it's so easy for us to be selfish. And I think God wants to stretch us. All right, let's stand. Well, you helped make this happen. So if you want to come and ask her questions or give her a hug or anything, feel free to do that. Let's thank God tonight for what He did in this trip. Father, thank You so much for the privilege that we had to send Courtney on this trip. Lord God, we thank You for the experiences that You brought her into. And Lord God, that You've stretched her faith and You've changed her heart and You've used her to change others. Lord, I pray now that You would even speak to other people and plant within them the desire to go and do things and greater things for You and Your kingdom. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.